As a world-renowned author, she's been named one of the few great truth-tellers, and her many achievements include being the executive editor of the Black Agenda Report and authoring the book Prejudicial, Black America and the Presidents. In addition to being a coordinating committee member of the Black Alliance for Peace, she is also an administrative committee member of the United National Anti-War Coalition and the board of directors of the U.S. Peace Memorial Foundation. She's here today to speak on how racism, militarism, and capitalism on a local level are intertwined with those same issues on a global scale, as well as the alternatives and resistance to them that is currently occurring. With that, please join me in giving a warm welcome to Margaret Kimberly.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning. Wake up. It's a Saturday. Generally, we're not roused at this hour on a weekend. But before I start, I'll start the way I always start before I speak and say, power to the people.
Power to the people.
Power to the people.
Power to the people.
And stop Cop City.
Stop Cop City.
Stop Cop City.
Stop Cop City.
All right. All right. Greetings and thank you all so much for being here today. I'm very grateful to Chicago Area Peace Action for being Solidarity Network members of Black Alliance for Peace and for inviting us to be here. Who else is here from Black Alliance for Peace? I know there's a couple of folks. All right. There you go. Give it up for BAP. We've got Chicago people. Our theme for today is Fighting the War Machine in Chicago and Beyond. It's fitting we're here today because this city is the site of so many struggles. When Martin Luther King came here in 1967 to demand fair housing policies, he was met by a rock-throwing mob of some 700 people. And he said, "I have never seen, even in Mississippi and Alabama, mobs as hateful as I have seen here in Chicago." 2 years later, Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were murdered of the Black Panther Party, were murdered by the Chicago police and the FBI. But this is also a place of victories. After the police torture revelations and the Homan Square Black Site Prison, your police district council process may be the very first successful iteration of community control of police. A couple of months ago, I spoke with Denzel Burke, who I believe will be here today also. It'll be great to meet him, on a segment of Black Agenda Radio about the Real Youth Initiative here in Chicago and the efforts to undo the damage caused by the youth incarceration system. So this is a place that can teach us a lot about struggle. Wars are not far away places. They are right here in this country, too. At Black Alliance for Peace, we say, quote, "For BAP, peace is not merely the absence of conflict. Peace means the achievement through popular struggle and self-defense of a world liberated from militarism and nuclear proliferation, imperialism and unjust war, patriarchy and white supremacy," unquote. So we don't have peace if no one fights against police terrorism. You just have more terrorism. And that's why I mentioned Cop City in Atlanta. As some of you know, we've got BAP folks in Atlanta, of course. They and other comrades have been fighting this effort to bring militarized policing to what is one of the last old-growth forests in Georgia. Police there have already killed someone, Manuel Paez Terran, known as Tortuguita, was killed in a police raid. He was one of the forest protectors. And Cop City hasn't even opened yet, and they already killed someone because he wanted to oppose this project. So there's a war machine right here in Atlanta, in New York, and across the city. You know, I want to say parenthetically, in New York, where I'm from, the NYPD, our police department, has a budget of $11 billion. Police departments in this country, if you combine all of them together, it's like the military of many other countries around the world. Anyway, back to my remarks. So right now, people in this country who are told they can't have college without incurring debt, that there's no right to health care, whose COVID SNAP benefits, food benefits have ended, whose COVID-era Medicaid benefits are about to end, and who live in ever-increasing precarity with encampments of the unhoused springing up across the country, have had $113 billion of their money go to Ukraine, or more correctly, go to the military-industrial complex. And Joe Biden has recently announced an additional $2 billion. But we're all here because we work for peace, as we defined it. So I'm going to spend a little time talking about a new Black Alliance for Peace initiative. On April 4th, which is BAPS' sixth birthday, that date was chosen because on April 4th, 1967, Martin Luther King publicly condemned the war in Vietnam. Excuse me, and he was assassinated a year to the day later. So this April 4th, 2023, the Black Alliance for Peace will launch its Zone of Peace initiative. And I'll read from our declaration, quote, "In Havana, Cuba, on January 29th, 2014, the heads of state and governments of the Community of Latin American and Caribbean Nations, CELAC, that's C-E-L-A-C, declared Latin America and the Caribbean should be seen and respected as a zone of peace. But this declaration from government representatives has not translated into a people-centered movement across the region. The Black Alliance for Peace believes that it is only through the concentrated efforts of the people of the Americas that the Americas will free itself of the anti-human, anti-democratic, and violent policies that Western imperialist subversion and militarism have brought to the peoples and nations in our region, lifting up as a popular demand that our region be free of externally imposed state violence is even more important today as it was when the declaration was issued in 2014. From the assault on democracy in Haiti to the subversion and illegal sanctions directed at Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua, the nations in Latin America and the Caribbean continue to find themselves in an existential battle against geostrategic interests of the hegemon to the north, the United States of America," unquote. There's something else to remember. This year, 2023, is also the 200th anniversary of the Monroe Doctrine, whereby the United States claimed the entire hemisphere as its own, as its sphere of influence, its personal property, if you will. The Caribbean and Mexico and Central America and South America are still said to be our backyard. People say this without a hint of irony, in all seriousness, people who should know better, politicians, journalists so-called. Anyway, Joe Biden actually thought he was saying something complimentary when he said, no, it's not our backyard, it's our front yard. But everyone needs to stop talking as though other nations are property of the U.S. who need to get off our lawn. As I speak, the U.S. and Canada are plotting a new invasion of Haiti, with nations such as Barbados and Jamaica acting as willing accomplices. We have a team, the Haiti and Americas team at BAP, and the name was chosen quite deliberately. Haiti has been the laboratory for theft and domination. I urge you all to go to blackallianceforpeace.com and sign up to receive our newsletter. and you can be informed about why we center Haiti so much. Yes, it's a black nation, the first to throw off the yoke of slavery, and it has been punished ever since for the past 200 years. First by France, the former colonizer, which threatened an invasion and re-enslavement if Haiti did not pay a reparation to them in gold. Billions of dollars were paid for nearly 100 years. The U.S. invaded Haiti during the Woodrow Wilson administration in 1915, stealing money and occupying for nearly 20 years. Since then, Haiti has suffered under puppet governments, subversion of its sovereignty, the kidnapping of President Aristide, and a so-called core group comprised of the U.S., Canada, France, and the U.N., who control the country with the help of Haiti's oligarchs of white and Middle Eastern ancestored people who are billionaires. They are some of the, not just the richest people in Haiti, but they're some of the wealthiest people in the Caribbean. You should, at blackagendareport.com, we have lots of information about that. They control the ports where guns come into the country. So you've heard a lot about Haitian gangs, but you probably haven't heard that these oligarchs arm them in an effort to keep the country destabilized. Biden recently visited Justin Trudeau in Canada, and they continued the next plot to invade Haiti again. And you have to know that this trope of gang activity is a false one. Are there gangs in Haiti? Yes, there are gangs in some of the country they're going to use to invade Haiti. But this talk of gangs is always used as a means of suppressing black people. It could be gang activity in Chicago. It could be gang activity in New York. So they have a gang database, and they put anybody in it. You may have social media. You may friend someone who's said to be in a gang, and you're under police surveillance because of that. So we see these connections. You know, you can't separate the domestic from the international. And I know there are people who try to say that certain politicians, Bernie Sanders, will express imperialist views, but he's good domestically. You can't separate them. It is thank you. The same country that gives $100 billion to the military-industrial complex to control Ukraine is not going to help its people. It is antithetical to such a system. So you can't separate the two. Anyway, I'm confused myself because I got diverted a little bit. But anyway, so back to Haiti. So you'll see images of Haitian people demonstrating. And it doesn't matter what Haitians do. It's always said to be a gang. So people can demonstrate against starvation wages and go on strike from the sweatshops imposed by Bill and Hillary Clinton, or to demand that their former president, Jovenel Moise, step down as the Constitution required, or that they have a real government after Moise was assassinated by U.S.-connected forces. The current prime minister, Ariel Henry, was chosen by the core group. No one has elected him. So remember these things when you read anything about Haiti. And if we are anti-imperialist, and I hope we are, because there's no peace with empire, we must condemn this next invasion before it even begins. You cannot have peace anywhere in the world without an end to imperialism. Last year, when the war in Ukraine began with what Russia calls its special military operation, a BAP statement entitled, it's a longish name, "For African and Colonized People to Understand Ukraine, Decenter Europe, and Focus on Imperialism." We said the following, quote, "The Black Alliance for Peace emphatically declares that the conflict in Ukraine emerges from the ceaseless and single-minded drive of the U.S., NATO, and the European Union for global economic and political dominance. The genesis of the current crisis, as BAP has previously asserted, is in the 2014 U.S.-backed coup of Ukraine's democratically elected government and in the determination of the U.S.-EU-NATO axis of domination to convert Ukraine into a heavily militarized NATO member nation lurking on the border of the Russian Federation, unquote. Since last February, we have seen the U.S. scuttle plans for peace, attempt and fail to sanction Russia, but in the process raise fuel prices for the entire world, with the global south suffering the most. Approximately 100,000 Ukrainian soldiers have died, and approximately 18,000 Russian troops too. As I said, the people of this country have watched as their public resources are used to keep Ukraine in the U.S. sphere of influence. Let's be clear about one thing. The real rationales for U.S. actions around the world are never what we are told. All talk of spreading democracy, fighting tyranny, or protecting human rights are always lies, and Ukraine is no exception. The Biden administration does not only want to keep a well-armed hostile state on Russia's border, but it wanted to cut ties between Russia and Europe. And that is why they blew up the Nord Stream pipeline in September of 2022. Yes, it was them. Common sense tells us it was them. And if you haven't already read Seymour Hersh, the renowned investigative journalist, he had about a month ago published a 5,200-word article about how the deed was done. It's quite fascinating. The U.S. has forced Germany and other European countries to import liquefied natural gas, fracked gas, from the U.S. to replace Russia's natural gas. So now Germany, which had gotten rid of coal and nuclear power, is bringing them back because of U.S. actions. LNG is more expensive than natural gas and worse for the environment. But who cares when the U.S. interests are promoted and Russia's are subverted? It's a little sarcasm. We care, of course. But I point this out to say why we cannot believe what we're told about interference in Ukraine or anywhere else. There are so many things I could talk about in this short time, but I want to mention Nicaragua, a place I've had the opportunity to visit a couple of times in the past few years, so I have a special feeling for it now. And Nicaragua is like Haiti and other countries in the region who've suffered under U.S. attacks. Way back in the 1850s, a man named William Walker took a gang of mercenaries to Nicaragua and involved himself in a civil war. He actually declared himself president, re-legalized slavery, which Nicaragua had ended, and was recognized for a time by President Franklin Pierce. He was eventually deposed and executed, but I want you to know this because the U.S. later sent Marines to Nicaragua in 1913, and they stayed for nearly 20 years. The people of Nicaragua are under U.S. attack still. Why? Because they dared to elect the government of their choice. They have again voted their support of the Sandinista Party, which they reelected in 2021. In 2018, the U.S. was up to its old tricks and worked on the ground through right-wing forces to attempt a coup. The country lived under siege and more than 200 people were killed. You may know that recently the golpistas, as they are called in Spanish, the coup makers, were deported to the U.S., 222 of them. They were imprisoned for doing what the U.S. would do to anyone who attempted to overthrow the government. The U.S. isn't content to carry out violence, but attacks Nicaragua with economic coercive measures, sanctions, and works with the UN Human Rights Commission to attack the Nicaraguan government and frankly tell lies about that country. And no, you cannot assume that the United Nations is acting on behalf of the people. So I'm going to end by reading a portion of our declaration for the zone of peace. Activating the popular movement element of the zone of peace. The response to this militarism, as well as to occupying forces, must be built from the bottom up through popular struggle rather than relying on governments to act. Therefore, BAP, along with key partner organizations, is calling on the peoples and nations of the Caribbean and Latin America to build, grow, and defend the zone of peace of the Americas. BAP is building a region-wide coalition to rid the Americas of warmongers and foster a network of popular people's struggles, grounded and informed by the needs and aspirations of oppressed. This network would anchor a unified, comprehensive strategy for decolonization and radical social change. As part of this work, those of us in the settler colonial states of the United States and Canada must cease to see ourselves as being fundamentally different from people in Latin America and the Caribbean. We, the oppressed and colonized living within the heart of empire, see it as our duty to confront the empire from within. We ask all colonized people to join in the struggle. And I will leave it there, but I will remind you on... if you go on the Black Alliance for Peace website and sign up for our newsletter and follow us on social media, Twitter is Blacks4Peace, number four, and we're on Facebook and everywhere else, so that you can follow this campaign as we launch it. You know, it's hard sometimes to say. I never say anything positive about this country, the way it operates as a state. And I thought, well, this is so depressing to always talk about how horrible the country is. But I believe it is positive to be in action, to be in coalition with other people. That's why we are at a meeting like this, so that we can get information, we can get inspiration, and we can see the benefits of struggle and see the results of struggle. You know, this community policing, these community police councils, that was huge. I interviewed Frank Chapman on Black Agenda Radio recently. I said, how long have you been working on this? He said about 50 years. Yeah. but it's, you know, and now we see those efforts come to fruition. And the same can be true internationally. We are not alone, as we literally not alone, as we see here today, but there are people all over the world who look to us, who live in the heart of the empire, to act. And we have a special role, and this is something we can take pride in. We have a special role as people who live here to fight against what the U.S. state does, because it is never anything that benefits people. And I would also, I want to say one more thing. You know, Donald Trump was indicted a couple days ago, or as he said, indicated on his social media post. But anyway, that's Trump. He's got to be Trump. One of the things that makes me really angry when I see a former president being arrested because he, you know, wanted to hush up a porn star and, you know, had his lawyer do something not legal in bookkeeping. Basically, the crime is of bookkeeping, essentially, that falsifying business records. But at any rate, and I think about George W. Bush invaded Iraq, killed between, depending on whom you listen to, between 250,000 and 1 million people. Barack Obama destroyed the nation of Libya. Hillary Clinton, his little hinch lady who helped him do it. They will never be called to account for those crimes. Yeah. Never. They won't get a slap on the wrist, a parking ticket, nothing. And Donald Trump, who I'm not a fan of, is facing probably not jail time, but is facing this ignominy, and not for the crimes he committed. You know, Venezuela, the Trump-era sanctions killed at least 40,000 people. So if he's in court, that's what he should be in court for. So I ask you to remember all of these things. I've gone over my time a little bit, and say thank you all, and power to the people.
Power to the people.
Thank you.
I'm going to put you up a picture and we'll get the panel going. So.